Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. All right. Not bad. Gentlemen, today I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures out of Mark's Gospel that really proffer an interesting insight that I think all of us need to contemplate, right, and consider its effect for our lives. Right? It's a couple of stories of Jesus' travels in Mark, which lead to Jesus telling a gentleman that he healed that he doesn't want that gentleman to follow him, that he has another job for that guy. So I want to start in the fifth chapter of Mark's Gospel. It's the story of Jesus and the Gerasene demonic. I'm sure our listening audience is pretty familiar with this. That's pretty lengthy, so I don't want to read we're not going to read all of that. But in summary, all right, Jesus and his disciples have taken a boat from one side of the Sea of Galilee and is heading to the Gerasene district, which we would call, scripturally, they call it Decapolis, which Deca meaning 10, Bolus city, it's 10 cities. This is a Greco-Roman culture, all right? And Gerasa, I mean, if we were to read somebody like Josephus in his war text, he tells a long story prior to Jesus then how the Romans destroyed this little village. Right? Some things, there were some disruptions, and Rome brought in 1,000 soldiers, right? And basically killed all the men, burned all the houses, took whatever they want. So I want you to think, you're on one side of the lake, and Jesus says, let's get in the boat, and let's go to that place where Rome destroyed. Let's go to the other side. Let's go into that place. From the get-go, this guy is confronting, in a sense, the Roman establishment and its history to free people from the fear of Rome. All right? And so what happens? They land there. He encounters this demonic. And like in great Jewish tradition, what's your name? I am Legion. And Legion is a Roman military term. All right? We're many. So again, Mark in his story here is informing us that this is a confrontation of Rome and its power. But, you know, Jesus, you know, be gentle with me, basically, is what he says. Which says what? Right? Even the powers that be recognize the true superpower. It's our way of appreciating that no matter what, we look into our world, we see that there may be things may not be right. There may be this sense of alienation or oppression or systematic sin or whatever. And it's like, oh, is this ever going to change? Here, Jesus is saying, these are all temporary. Right? I am the superpower. Okay. And we know from the story, then he does exorcise this man. Cast him into the pigs, right? Which is a whole nother sermon, right? And then they go into the town to tell, right? To celebrate that this guy's been liberated. And what happens to the town folk, right? The town folk are like, whoa. We're okay the way we are. We accept the way we are. The liberation you're bringing us, Jesus, scares us to death. They're unable to receive the liberation that he is offering them through the healing of the demonic. Okay? That being said, we'll pick up in verse 16. Those who had seen what had happened to the demonic and to the swine reported it. And they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, The man who had been possessed by the demons begged to follow him so that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." Here we could almost say, we could say, sometimes Jesus doesn't want us to follow him. Not in this context. Right? Now, having said that, if we were to flip over to like the end of chapter 6 and into chapter 7 of Mark's gospel, all of a sudden Jesus, he does leave, gets in the boat and leaves, but he comes back. And when he comes back, this village who is fearful of the liberation he offered him are now welcoming him. And what I wanted you gentlemen to reflect on then is, sometimes rather than becoming a disciple, right? Because in this tradition, this gentleman recognized Jesus as a Jewish rabbi who has disciples who are students. "You just saved my life. I owe you everything. As a rabbi, I too want to be your disciple. I want to come follow you." And Jesus says, "No. Go and tell your friends what you experienced." And I like to think when he shows back up a couple chapters later, these people are now welcoming. What changed in their experience? And I think it's because this man who had been exorcised of the demon did exactly what Jesus instructed him to do and went back and told his village people what Jesus did for him, which prepared them for their own encounter of the liberation of Christ when he returns. All right, gentlemen, I've set the stage. What are some of your reflections on that?
This story tells an interesting, I don't know, it kind of hits an interesting note with me on the mental health angle. So especially the beginning of this, or right where you were reading that, right one verse back from that, in 15, when it talks about this Legion character going from, you know, a wild man living in the catacombs, cutting himself, clearly mentally ill, had been cast out of his social circle. And the guy's surviving where he can, a Jew in a cemetery. You know, so all these things are pointing to this guy has nowhere else to go. And this mental illness, I kind of, you know, it's sometimes as a person who Christ has brought through so much issues with addiction and who still wrestles with them every day and will to the day I die, this mental health story rings so true to me, kind of as an addiction story or as the core of an addiction story. And the second this guy meets Christ, I like that line in 15 where it says they see him and he's got his hair combed and he's dressed and he's in his right mind. And it's just the story from any of us, man, the depths of the madness, like being a couple generations into addiction and alcoholism. Sometimes long-term addiction like that looks more like mental health because it's so normal. You're so used to it. The ramifications of it have screwed your family up so bad, it is just your reality. And I think reading this and that will identify so much with that. Everything's better now. You've met Jesus, and granted, you still have a long road to hope. But I just think that story, there's something that clarion call, that truth, and that meet Christ, and it allows God to put everything back like I should have been to begin with. I don't know. It's a beautiful story to me about just finding that clarity. So then, that natural response to, "Hey, I do. What do you need me to paint a house, Jesus? What's going on?" He says, "No, just go tell people." So that autobiographical connection to the gospel here is really pretty. You don't need to be a PhD. You don't need to have done the most drugs in the world. You don't need to have had the most sin in the world. Whatever the case is, take your experience. Go and talk about this.
Right, you're the expert of your own experience, and that's all required. That's all that is required to share. Mm-hmm. tell your story.
Well, I think too, to piggyback off of Eric is like, I guess you could kind of look at it as like, as we're talking about even more in that chapter, is being like this possession. You know, that the dramatic, they met Jesus at the shoreline, you know? He didn't go to them. So he knew, they already knew who he was. But he asked them to leave, the man, because the real person's behind them, you know? And they didn't want to leave. And I think that's how we are a lot of times. Like, and I see it here amongst houses and stuff like that, is that guys are so immersed in their addiction because the drug of choice in your life works. It makes you feel good. It makes you, for that moment in time. And so you continue to fight that because the unknown, you know, you want to know what happens if I do move on. I do find some greater thing to be part of, you know? And I think that it's that fight. It's continuously going to continuously fight the bad in your life because it does feel good at times, you know, and so you struggle with it. It's going to be that struggle.
I like that because sometimes in our addictions program here at Neighbors of Hope, I'll say sometimes it's not that we're addicted to the substance.
No.
We're addicted to the pain which the substance helps medicate.
Yeah.
What I love about Jesus' confrontation with the demonic is the demonic recognizes Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in our addiction to our pain, we tend to choose the pain over to Jesus. It's not that we don't know Jesus, we don't believe Jesus can heal us. We're choosing to cling to the pain. They recognize, you're the Son of the Most High God. Jesus, don't do this to me. All right? Don't cast me where I don't want to be cast. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And Jesus says, what is your name? My name is Legion. He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Right? I mean, look, don't take away my pain. I won't have a sense of identity. So basically what Jesus is confronting, you got it backwards. You're missing your true identity. Your true identity as a beloved child of my Father is you're supposed to be healthy. Let me take away your pain. Stop clinging to your pain. How often do we do that? And once you've let go and relinquished your pain, and I've brought you a sense of peace, it's mercy, it's grace, it's liberation, go tell other people who are full of pain that they too can find freedom and health through the same mercy, the same grace, the same love. Yeah, that's a good insight. Any other thoughts?
I think, you know, I have wondered that Ulrich changed better than us. I've been pushed away from, you know, because they see that I don't need that lifestyle and that I am doing it for real. It's hard, but you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice for my joy and my peace and my happiness.
All right, gentlemen, well, thank you very much. I appreciate all of your insights in this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.